And we're holding on pay bays, umud bays, the second line from the bottom. We started discussing yesterday, suppose that a woman made a neder regarding two loaves of bread. One of them is something she'd really have wanted to eat, such as white bread, and therefore it would be inui nefesh for her not to eat it. The other one is pumpernickel bread or something like that, where anyway she wouldn't eat it, or we said the Rosh said that, let's say, she only needs to eat one loaf of bread to satisfy her for the day. So the other one she doesn't need because she wasn't going to eat it. So there's no inui nefesh in that. Can the husband be mefer for both of them? So we said Shmuel said yes. Once he's mefer for one, he can be mefer for the other. Rabbi Yochanan says that no, he's mefer for one, but he can only be mefer for the one that's in, that involves inui nefesh, but not the other one. And we discussed the reasons for the svara. One idea being what the Ran says about they're arguing regarding this that we're going to learn later in the perek, that when the husband is mefer, he has to be mefer the whole neder. Is that does that apply over here? Do we say that the whole neder means literally the whole neder, or do we say it means only the part that is within his purview, namely the part that's neder in your nefesh? So now the Gemara says Esvei. So Rav Asi, we said, had asked Rav Yechanan this question. According to, we had two versions. One was Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yechanan, this is the din. The other one is that Rav Asi had asked the din to Rav Yechanan, and Rav Yechanan responded to him that the only one he can be made for is the one with his inui nefesh. So now the Gemara says Esvei. So Rav Asi asked Rav Yechanan a question based on a Mishnah in Nazir, which we'll learn in a couple of weeks, Beis Hashem. The Mishnah says, "Ha'isha shenadra b'nazir." Suppose a married woman, makes a neder of nazirus. Va'isha shoyse yayin u'tam l'meisim. Afterwards, she was violating the neder and she was drinking wine or becoming tamei mes. Harez sefegas asarbayim. So then she gets malchus. Sefegas literally means absorbs. That's the common terminology in many places in Shas. When a person gets malchus, we say literally they absorb the 40. 39 really, but whatever, the pasuk calls it 40, blows, that she absorbs the 40 blows, in other words, she gets malchus. Now, there's no real chiddush in that, the Ran and all the other mephoshim point out over here, there's no real chiddush in that part. Obviously, she violated her neder, she's chayav malchus. It's more, we're bringing it as an introduction to the sefer. The sefer continues, hefer la baila, suppose her husband was made for the neder, v'hi lo yoda shehefer la, she didn't know that he was made for to her, and then she was drinking wine or becoming tamimes, then she is not getting malchus, because the fact is the husband was made for her. The Gemara explains there in Nedarim, and we'll learn it over there, Beis Hashem, that nevertheless she needs a kapara, because the fact is she needs to still do tshuva and ask Hashem to forgive her, because the fact is she thought that she was over on Aveda, even though it turns out that she wasn't. So this is, you have over and over in the Psukim, in Parshas Matos, regarding Foras Nadarim, it uses the expression, Vashem Yislach Lo, Hashem will forgive her. And Rashi explains over there, based on this Gemara, that that's what we mean, in other words, that even though in the end it turns out she didn't do anything wrong, because the neder was already mufar, nevertheless, she still needs kapara from Hashem. She still needs slicha. She still needs forgiveness from Hashem, because at the time she didn't know, and she thought that she was actually violating her neder. Anyway, the point is, says Rav Asi to Rabbi Yechanan, the I amet meifel b'sana ve'in meifel she'en misana. If you're going to tell me that in the case of the two loaves of bread, you're going to tell me that he can only be meifer for one of them, only for the part that involves inui nefesh, and not for the other part. Then in the case of Nezirus, let's consider Nezirus has many different parts. So Duma min Yayin de Islat Saira Hefala. So maybe it's possible. So it's possible, and actually the Ran says really the Duma over here, not really even it's possible. We would have to read the Ran uses the question, Lav Davka. It means actually it's a certainty that even though he was Mefer for the Neder. But min yayin de islat saira, so wine, a deprivation of wine could be considered inui nefesh, so hefer law, you could say he was mefer for her, min chartzen or min zog la hefer law, but even within things from the grapevine itself, we know, as we're going to learn in Masechta Nazir, that a Nazir is also to eat anything and any part of the grape, So he's also to eat chartzan, which is the grape seeds, and zog, which is the grape peels. There's no inri nefesh necessarily involved in depriving herself of that. So then you could say, so to the extent that the husband is mefer, if he's telling me that he's only made for the inri nefesh part, then he's only made for the wine part. The rest of it, including the chatzanim and zog, is still in effect. The hola isla tzaira, because after all, she doesn't have tzar by the deprivation of those, the tisbeg the sarabayim. So nevertheless, she should still get malchus if she eats those. And in fact, the Tana in that case should have told her that even if the husband was mefer for her, then still there can be things for which she gets malchus, namely some of the other things that a nazir is also in. The Rosh also points out another way of looking at it is forget about chatzanim and zog. What about tumas mes? There's certainly no on the face of it. There's no inri nefesh involved in not becoming tumah lames. So we certainly, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, there's no reason the husband should be able to be made for the part about Tumas Mes, and still we're saying that if she became Tome, she's not getting Malchus. Well, why not? The answer is so doesn't that contradict you, Rabbi Yochanan, who are saying that the husband can only be made for the part of Inri Nefesh? Amr Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef answers the question, ein nezirus lachatzoyim. The answer is, there's no such thing as half nezirus. In other words, there's no such thing as a nazir who's osir in wine, but is mutter in charetzen and zog, who's mutter to eat grape seeds or grape peels, or to use the Rosh's thing, where there's no such thing as a nazir. So actually, the Ran talks about on Amud Beis, he says, there actually can be a type of nazir where they're allowed to become tummy mess. The Ran addresses later on. He says in Masech the Nazir, we're going to learn. So in a week and a half or so, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn that there's such a thing as a nazir shimshon, which is a person who declares that I'm going to be a nazir like Shimshon was. And we find as we go through the psukim over there that Shimshon was also in everything of a nazir, except that he was allowed to become Tomei Mes. That way he was Shimshon's career. He was going and killing Plishtim all over the place. He wouldn't have been able to do that if he was also to become Tomei Mes. The Gemara goes through a whole discussion of it that on the face of it, you could understand the psukim otherwise, but the Gemara ends up saying that the halacha is that's how it is, that a nazir shimshin is allowed to become tummy mess. So therefore, so the Ran explains further on that actually you could have a type of nazir who's allowed to become tummy mess, but fine, let's talk about chartzen and zog. There's no such thing as a nazir who's also to drink wine, but is mutter to eat chartzen and zog. So this is a special case, in other words, says Rabbi Yosef. Given that nizirus is an all-encompassing thing that includes many different details, including wine and chartzen and zog, then therefore it's impossible to be made for one part without being made for the rest, because there's no such thing as half nizirus. So Rabbi Yosef says, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that in that case, the husband can be made for even the part that doesn't involve inri nefesh, such as the chartzen and the zog, because otherwise you're going to be left with half nezirus, and there's no such thing. The Rosh also adds the point, he says that it's one thing when she makes a neder regarding two loaves of bread. Now, before, when we discussed the question, why would Shmuel say that if the husband is made for one, he can be made for the other as well, when there's no nidra inri nefesh? So we said the Ran had discussed at some length the idea that they're arguing on when the Pasuk says, Isha yiferenu, that her husband is made for it, and we say later on in the parak that it means he has to be made for the whole thing. He can't just be made for part of it. So they're arguing what's considered the whole neder for this purpose. The Rosh over there has a somewhat different explanation. He says the vort is that when she makes the neder on two loaves of bread, we consider as if each one was a separate neder. It may even be that there actually was a separate neder on each one, but it doesn't matter. The point is that even if it was one neder, we consider as though it was two. So here, on the other hand, with nezirus, we don't consider as though it's separate nedarim on wine and on charetzan and zog and so forth. It's all one big neder. Therefore he can be made for the whole thing together. Omalei Abaya, so Abaya asks Rav Yosef, you using the expression ein nezirus l'chatzoyin, does that, it makes it sound as though you're saying there can't be nezirus, there can't be half nezirus. If a person is a nazir, they're also on the whole thing, but it sounds like you're saying, he asks Rav Yosef, it sounds like you're saying that there could be a korban for half the nezirus. Omalei Abaya, a korban l'chatzi nezirus eka. So Abaya asks him, so what are you implying? Your loshen ein nezirus l'chatzoyin is incomplete. You're saying that there can't be nezirus for half, implying, it sounds as though you're saying that it is possible for there to be korbanos for half nezirus. Meaning, suppose, for example, she made this neder of nezirus. She observed it for, let's say, 2 weeks. Then her husband was made for. We said, now, we discussed before, and the Gemara discusses in this sugya in Nazir, when the husband is made for a neder, is it that he's made for it that it, as if it never existed, like it is with the when based in is matter a neder, or is it megas gayas, is it that he cuts it off from now on? So until now it was valid, and now we're saying from now on it's no longer in effect. The Gemara in Nazir ends up saying that it is, in fact, Megas Gaius. So therefore, so imagine she kept the Nezirus for 15 days. Now the husband is Mefer. The way you're saying it, Rabbi Yosef, sounds like fine. There can't be half Nezirus in the sense that it can't be that during those 15 days, she was also only in wine, but Mutter and Chautzen and Zug. Therefore, if the husband, or the other way around, therefore, if the husband is going to be made for one part of it, he's made for the whole thing. But the way you're phrasing it, ein nezirus l'chatzoyin, makes it sound as though there could be a korban for half the nezirus. As though if she were to be a nazir for 15 days, and then the husband is made for, it sounds as though you're saying that she would have to have bring korbanos at that point. And that's not so. You only bring korbanos when you had full 30-day nezirus. So in other words, Abaya is bothered by Rabbi Yosef's loshen. So Abaya is saying, are you telling me that the way you're saying your loshen makes it sound as though there would be a korban for half of nezirus? So rather, Abaya says, no, let's clarify your loshen. And there's no nezirus for half, but there's also no korban for half. In other words, the same way as you can't be made for part of the neder of nezirus and be mekayim part of it, if he's made for the part about wine, which is inui nefesh, he has to, along with it, be made for the part about grape seeds and grape peels. And even though there's no way, even though there's no inui nefesh in those, the same way, there's no korban for the half nezirus. Yes, if the husband was made for during the time, then she would not bring a korban for that period of time that she already counted. There are achronim that talk about, interestingly, a different svara in what Abaya is saying. I mean, why is Abaya, and after all, you know, there's no actual loshen that Rabbi Yosef is saying that she should be chayev in a korban as a result of all of this. So what's bothering Abaya so much about the loshen ein nezirus l'chatzoyin, making it sound as though Rabbi Yosef said there's korban l'chatzoyin when he didn't really hint at any such thing. So there are actually a couple of interesting explanations from Achronim. There's Reb Chaim Ozer has in his Chidushim, in his Sefer Achiezer. He says, listen, after all, the husband was mefer the nezirus. Fine, but you can say, even if you're going to say he's mefer all of the things that she's not allowed to, and fine, you can say ein nezirus l'chatzoyin, so he can't be mefer on the wine and not be mefer as well on the zog and chartzen, but he wasn't mefer on her korbanos. So why shouldn't she be chayev in the korbanos? And the answer is because the answer is Abaya is saying ein korban l'chatzi nezirus. The korbanos are also a basic part of the nezirus, and therefore if he's made for the nezirus, automatically the korbanos go away with it as well. And then the Chazan Ish discusses this point as well and says another point. The fact is we know the din. We're going to learn it in Masech the Nazir, Best Hashem, that if a person's time of nezirus finishes, so the 30 days or however long it is, they said they're going to be a nazir is up, but they didn't bring their korbanos, then they're still chayev in all the dinim of nazir. So and they're still going to be chayev malchus if they do it during that time. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, so you're telling me ein nezirus l'chatzoyin, but still until she brings her karbanos, shouldn't she be chayev malchus? Because after all, according to your logic, she hasn't brought her karbanos. So Abaye says, no, the fact is she's not ever going to be bringing those karbanos because, again, Baal Negas Gaias, the husband cuts off the Nazirus as though it never existed, or not as though it never existed. It means that from now on, it doesn't exist. And the fact is, you don't bring karbanos of nazirus until you've completed your nazirus. Well, she never completed it because the husband was mefer. That is why Abaye says you can't just say it's a matter of ein nazirus lachatzoy. You have to also add the detail of ein karbanos lachatzin nazirus. Otherwise, the question would still be, why shouldn't she be getting malchus given that she hasn't brought her karbanos yet? And so the answer is because, in fact, there aren't going to be any karbanos, because in this case, the Nazirus is cut off and no longer exists from now on. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses, let's discuss that point that Abaye is saying that there are no karbanos in this case. Let's get into that point a little bit, and then we'll return back to the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion about being made for only the inri nefesh part. So the Gemara says, we have a contradiction against Abaye. A Mishnah says in Nazir, Ha'isha, or it's a Braisa actually, Ha'isha Shenodra Menazir, if a woman made a neder of Nazirus, Ve'ifrisha Behemta, and she designated an animal for the korban. Now, what it is like this. We're going to learn in Masechta Nazir, Be'ez Hashem, that a Nazir has to bring, if a Nazir becomes Tomei, then they have to bring three korbanos. They bring two birds as an Ola and a Chatas, and they bring an animal, a sheep, as an Osham. Then, if they became Tomei, and then they bring those korbanos and start the Nazirus over again. Then, when they complete their Nazirus successfully, then they bring three korbanos. Then on all animals, they bring an oila, a chatas, and a shlum. So this woman made a neder of nazir. She designated an animal for her korban. So the Ran explains that she made the neder of nazirus. Now she became tomei. So now she has to bring the korbanos tuma, of which one of them is an animal and the other two are birds. So she designated the animal for the Osham, and the Ran says, the Chiddush is, even though she already designated the animal, even though it was so far along that she already designated an animal for the Osham, nevertheless, the husband is still able to be made for the Neder, and she won't bring the Karbanos. So that's the Chiddush, that's the point of mentioning that she designated her animal. Then her husband was made for the neder. So now the nazirus is cut off. Now she's not bringing the korbanos anymore. Nevertheless, the braisa says mevia chatas oif. She still has to bring the chatas of. She still has to bring the bird chatas. But she doesn't bring the bird. She doesn't bring the bird oila that she would have had to bring as a nazir tame, because now she's not a nazir anymore. So the amat ain't korban lachatzin nazirus. Now, if you tell me Abaye, there's no such thing as a korban for half nazirus, because the husband was mefer halfway through the nazirus, and now therefore she's not bringing her korbanos. Then amay mevia chatas oif. Then why should bring a chatas oif either? What chatas oif is there for her to bring? At this point, she's not chayiv in any korbanos anymore. So what are you telling me, Abaye, ain't korban lachatzoyin, that you can't bring a korban for half nazirus? There we see you do bring a korban after half nazirus. The Gemara answers back the Elamai yesh korban lachatzin nazirus. Okay, so what are you gonna say then? You, the Machshon, are assuming that there is korban for half nazirus, and you want to contradict Abaye with that. Well, sholosh behemis boi lasuya chatas olo shlomin. In that case, then ultimately she's going to have to bring three animals as a korban. Because after all, if she didn't become Tomei, then she's going to be bringing two birds and an animal, and then she's going to start her Nazirus over again. But either way, eventually, at the end of the Nazirus, she's going to have to bring three animals. Because again, if you're going to tell me, you know, now it's one thing if a person is matur neder on the nezira is fine. We said that the chacham is oikra am neder meikra. He uproots the neder as if it never existed. So therefore, you could say there's no korbanos. But if you're telling me that you're bothered by this b'risa, which is bringing an oila sa'oif, that therefore you're saying, obviously, therefore, some residue of the nezira remains, well, then in that case, what do you mean? Why would she be bringing only one bird? She would have to bring all three. She'd have to be bringing all three korbanos for the truma. Two birds and an animal, start her Nezirus over again, and eventually finish her Nezirus successfully and bring the three animals. And the fact that the Braisa is not saying that shows that obviously there's never a time when she's bringing all those animals. So we are back to, after all, in Korban Lachatzi Nezirus. You're bothered by the question in that case, why is she bringing an Ola Sa'if? Why is she bringing a Chatasa'if then? So the Chatasa'if, you could say that, you know why she's bringing the Chatasa'if? Fine, Demasia, that she's bringing, fine, Mishum de Chatasa'if. The fact is, we find other scenarios where a person brings a Chatasa'if even when there's a Sa'if. Because after all, we find, for example, we have examples. For example, a woman miscarried and she's not sure whether the baby was the type that was a viable baby that she would have, or whatever, a baby formed enough that she would have to bring a korban on. And you have various other such cases, Safek Zava. You have all kinds of cases where the fact is we have a din that you bring a chatasa'if even though it's a Safek. The din is you can't eat it because the Kohenim can't eat it, because since it's Allah Safek, then it might be that it was Cholin Ba'azara. And there's also the point that they did Malika to it, which if it's not a kosher korban, then they're not allowed to eat a bird that Malika was done on. Normally Malika is not Shchita. Normally the bird would be considered Nevela as a result of that. Anyway, only when it comes to korbanos is there a special dispensation for the Kohenim to eat it. We've discussed that point before. So when a chatasa'if is brought because of a suffix, then you don't eat it. The fact is, though, we see that there is a kula when it comes to a chatasa'if, that you bring it even though there was a suffix. So therefore, you can say that then she brings, so fine, there is reason for her to bring the chatasa'if. The Gemara explains there in Nazir, and the Rosh and Tosfos bring it over here, that braisa that says that she brings the chatasa'if is following the opinion of Rabbi Lazar HaKapper, who says the very fact that she made a neder of nezirus in the first place is considered a certain chet, is considered to a certain degree an avera, because as we've talked about throughout our Masechta, making the darim is not really the best thing to do. And Rabbi Lazar HaKapper especially uses the expression, shetzira atzma min hayayin, the very fact that she deprived herself of wine is something wrong for which she needs kapara. So therefore, Rabbi Lazar HaKapper has reason to say that she should bring a chatasa'if, because after all, a chatasa'if we find even when you're not strictly, absolutely required to bring it, you can bring it anyway. So by the same token, let her at least bring it over here. It'll be at least symbolically that she's bringing her korbanos and bringing a kapara for herself for having made this neder in the first place. And then that's it. No more korbanos, because at that point, the husband has removed the neder, has cut off the neder, and ain't korban l'chatzi nezirus. So that would explain why you have that, but that would explain why you don't bring the rest, why she doesn't bring the rest of the korbanos tahara, the korbanos tuma, or the korbanos tahara, because in fact, like Abaya says, ain't korban lachatzi nezirus. Okay, so fine. So that takes care of Abaya's point. In fact, that the din is ain't korban lachatzi nezirus. We do have this special thing that she brings this oila, she brings this chatasa'if, because a chatasa'if there's no problem bringing on a suffix, and therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar HaKapper, there's reason to bring it in order to be machaper for the fact that she ever made this neder in the first place. So therefore, she does that. But in fact, objectively, there's really no korbanos that she needs to bring, and therefore, that upholds Abaya's point that ain't korban lachatzi nezirus. Fine. Now let's get back to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Again, we were still in the middle of discussing that Rabbi Yochanan had said that the husband can be made for only the part of the neder that is inui nefesh. So we said in the case of the two loaves of bread, he can only be made for regarding the white bread, but not regarding the pumpernickel bread. So Rabbi Asi points out another contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. We learn in a braisa, another case involving a woman with nezirus, ha'isha shenodra b'nazir, a woman made a neder of nezirus, v'nitmes, and she became tomei, v'achakach hefer la'baila, And then her husband was mefer her nezirus. So this is slightly different than the previous case. The previous case was she made the neder of nazir, then she designated an animal, and then her husband was mefer. Now the Ran explained that she designated an animal that she did in fact become tamei already, but the Braisa didn't spell it out. Here the Braisa is spelling out that she became tamei v'achaka chayfal abayla. And then her husband was made for her. So she brings the chatas, she brings the bird chatas, but she doesn't bring the bird oila. Because again, there wasn't really a nezirus over here. Now if you're telling me, Rabbi Yechanan, may for the misana, ve'ein may for the she'ein misana, if you're telling me that the husband can be made for only the part that involves inri nefesh, so let's say, for example, the wine, but not the part that does not involve inri nefesh, for example, the chautzen and the zog, like we said before, so forget about chautzen and zog. Like, remember, nazir is also not allowed to become tummy mess. Dumami yayin de islot saira hefala, then maybe we would have to say that he was only made for the part about wine where there is tsar involved. Mitumas mess, the less lot saira la hefala. Maybe you could say, or actually the Ran says, like before, that it's not even dilma, it's not even maybe, according to Rabbi Yechanan, it would be a certainty. Mitumas mess, the less lot saira. When it comes to tumas mess, there's no tsar, there's no deprivation in not becoming tummy mess, so loy hefer law, so he wasn't mefer. So in that case, then again, why is she not bringing her korbanus? The fact is she became tummy, so therefore, and tuma he wasn't mefer, so the dinim of tuma of nazir should still apply to her at least, and she should have to bring the korbanus about that. Now the Ran points out that now the Gemara is going to give a different answer over here, that Tumas Mes in fact does involve Tsar. Now, why didn't the Gemara use the answer before about Ein Nezirus L'Chatzoyim? The answer is, so the Ran, following his Shita, says that before the Gemara was asking about Zog and Chartzen, about grape seeds and grape peels, where the husband, on the face of it, according to Rabbi Yechanan, can't be made for those until we said Ein Nezirus L'Chatzoyim, and therefore we said on that grounds he could. Because there's no such thing ever as a nazir who's also in wine, but mutter in grape seeds and grape peels. And in fact, we're going to learn in Masech the Nazir that if a person says, for example, I am a nazir from wine, even though he didn't mention anything else, then he's considered a full nazir. On the other hand, the Ran says, again, there is such a thing as a nazir shimshin, as we talked about. That a nazir shimshin is in fact allowed to become tumim mes. So therefore, now that we're dealing with tumas mes, then the Gemara can't answer like it did before. That he can't be made for only part of it, because to begin with, it is in fact possible for her to have declared a nazirus, specifically a nazirus shimshin, which she'd be able to become tumim mes. So you could well say then that the husband could be mefer the part of the nezirus that involves wine, but not be mefer the issur truma. Or the Ran adds also, you could say that yes, of course you could say that that trumas mes does in Or the Gemara is going to answer that, in fact, you're thinking that Tumas Mes does not involve Inu Nefesh. As a matter of fact, it does, as the Gemara is going to answer. So therefore, that would be another reason, says the Ran, why the Gemara is giving another answer, because the Gemara wants to highlight that, in fact, there is such a thing as Inu Nefesh involving Tumas Mes in general. Meaning, even if she were to make, forget about a neder of Nezirus. What if a woman makes a neder that I won't become Tumi? Or that I won't go to a Beis HaOvel, to a place of Avelos, where I'm going to become Tamei Mes, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, it still can be considered Inri Nefesh, and the husband can be made for it. That's all according to the Ran, again, following his Shitta before, that when the Gemara on Omer Aleph asked, to begin with, from Rabbi Yechanan, about the case of a woman with her Nezirus, we were talking about the fact that there it didn't specify tumah, so therefore we could say the husband was mefer only the part about the wine, but not the zog and the chautzen. And then we ended up saying that no, he's mefer the whole thing because ein nezirus chatzoyin. The Rush, who explained before that in fact before also the Gemara knew that we're talking about that we're mefer, that he's mefer the part about wine, but not the part about tumah. So rather, the Rosh and Tosfos over here understand that the Gemara's question is a little bit different. The Braisa is saying that if she became Tomei before the husband was Mefer, then she has to bring the Chatasov, implying that and the implication is that if that the implication is, on the other hand, if she hadn't become Tomei yet, once the husband is Mefer, she can become Tomei Nes. So therefore, so that we see that Afara is made for the whole Nezirus, even the part that doesn't have Inri Nefesh. So now the question is, where is the Inri Nefesh? So now the question is, how can you be made for the part about the part about Tumas Mes? On the face of it, there's no Inri Nefesh. And so therefore, so the answer is going to be that in fact Tumah does involve Tumah does involve Inri Nefesh. So the Gemara says Amri. So the answer, Tumas Mes Namitz Isla Tzair. As a matter of fact, the lack of Tumas Mes can also be considered a Tzair. Dichtiv V'Chayit Inolid, because part of that she can't become Tomei Mes means she's not going to be able to go to a Beis HaOvel. A Beis HaOvel doesn't just mean a Shiva house. There's no Mesim over there. There's no Tumah over there. It means also, for example, let's say to go, like nowadays, if a person goes to a funeral, to the funeral home, in order to be Menachem, in order to be with the Avelim, and to be Menachem them over there. So a person not being able to do that can be considered Inri Nefesh. Dichtiv V'Chayit Inolid, as the Pasuk says, the living should take it to heart. The pasuk is pasuk in Kehelas that's saying that the beginning of the pasuk is saying that it's better to go to a Beis HaOvel than to go to a party or a wedding or whatever, because everybody in the end dies. V'chayit in alibo, and the living should take it to heart. We know famously after Rebbe Tzimchai Mushka passed away, in particular, that Rebbe quoted this pasuk innumerable times to say that, that we need to take a lesson from the actions of the Nifter or the Nifteres and learn to be better Jews because of it. Anyway, Betanya, Hoyer Meir Omer. So we learn in a Braisa, a Meir says, what does it mean Vachayit in a Libo? I mean, my dichtiv Vachayit in a Libo. The Yisbod Yisbodun Lay, a person should realize that if he cries for other people after they die, then he will have that people will do the same for him when he goes. That's the Yivkum. The Yisbod means to make a hesped. It means to eulogize the dead person, to say good things about him and arouse people to cry. So if he does that then eventually people will do that for him. The yivkun lay, somebody who cries for a mess, other people will cry for him. The yikba yikbaruna, a person who helps out with the burial of a mess, eventually others will do the same for him. So therefore, so there is a certain Inri Nefesh. So she makes a neder that I won't be, that I'll be a Nazir, and therefore I can't become Tomei Mes. That means she's not going to be able to participate in the burial. It means she's not going to be able to maybe even to go, she's not going to be able to go to the Beis HaOvel, like to the funeral home or something, to be Menachem the Avelim. So there is Inri Nefesh involved in that, there is Tsar involved in that. Eventually it's going to occur to her, you know what, then if I act that way, nobody's going to do it for me after I go, and therefore that can be considered Inri Nefesh to the extent that the husband in fact could be made for that. Okay, so that answer. So again, that Braisa that talks about that that she became Tomei is not contradicting, and was saying that that the husband can be made for, and he's made for everything, including the Truma, is not contradicting Rabbi Yochanan, who says you can't be made for anything that's not Inri Nefesh, because as a matter of fact, Truma does involve a not being able to become Tomei, does involve Inri Nefesh as well. In the end, the halach, in the end, as far as this machloikas Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, the general rule is that when you have a machloikas Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha generally is like Rabbi Yechanan, and that's how it is over here. So in the case of the two loaves of bread, in fact, the husband can be made for only the part that is Inri Nefesh. He can only be made for on the white bread, not on the pumpernickel bread, and similarly in other cases. Now, in the case of Nazir, is a separate thing, because, as we said, in Nazirus Lachatzoyin, and because in addition, the two major things of Nazirus, drinking wine and becoming Tomei Lames, both involve Inri Nefesh, then therefore the husband can be made for the whole thing. But anyway, because in Nazirus Lachatzoyin, there's no such thing as half Nazirus. But in other cases, let's say, for example, with two loaves of bread or something like that, in fact, he could only be made for the part that involves Inri Nefesh. Mishnah says, koinam she'enin chani nen labris. Suppose that the woman makes a neder, a koinam, on any hana that I would have from other people. So in other words, she's asking herself to having hana to any person. Eina yachol lahafer, so the husband is not able to be mefer, because that's not nidri inri nefesh. Now, the Ran points out over here, we learned before that Shmuel said he could be mefer. We ended up saying that according to the Ran's understanding of that Gemara, that Shmuel was going according to the Chachamim, whereas our Mishnah, we said earlier in the Perek, that our Mishnah and all the rest of the Mishnayos in our Perek go according to Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi would say that he can't be mefer because it's not Nidra Inu Nefesh. Shmuel would be going according to the Chachamim who disagree and say that it is Nidra Inu Nefesh. Now again, we discussed before that the Rambam and a couple of other Rishonim do learn that the halacha would be like Rabbi Yossi as far as this. So they would have to understand as the Gemara is going to discuss, that any yochel lahofer means it can't be mefer on the grounds of inri nefesh, but he could still be mefer on the grounds when it involves dvorim shebeina levena, where it interferes with the relationship between them, namely that it makes it more of a hardship for him to be able to support her, as we'll see. Continues the Mishnah, v'yicholah hi lehonis b'leket shikcho peya. Now she is allowed to have hana from leket shikcha and peya that people leave over in their field, because that's not considered having hana from people, because the people leave them in their fields and she's taking them. It's not considered having hana from the people. The Ran points out, now, unlike Truma and Meiser, the din with Truma and Meiser, which we're going to continue in the Mishnah, we're going to digress in the Mishnah to talk about that, is you have to give the Truma and Meiser to the Kohen and Levi, but you have what's called Tovas Hana, you have the right to determine which Kohen and which Levi could get them, and even that is in other places in the Gemara, it talks about that there can be a certain monetary value to that. You can have, let's say, a friend who's a Yisrael who says to you, you know what, I have a grandson or I have a nephew who's a Kohen, because my sister or my daughter is married to a Kohen and they have a son, I'm going to give you a couple of dollars and you give your truma to my nephew or my grandson, the Kohen, and you're allowed to do that because you're allowed to pick which Kohen or which Levi gets your truma and maaser. Leket shikcha and peya is not like that. The Ran refers to that there's an extra word, tazo, in the pasuk. You have to leave it alone, meaning you don't have tovas hana. You don't get to pick which poor person gets it. So therefore, in effect, all it is, it's hefker. And therefore, she's allowed to take it. It's not considered having hana from other people. So now, having mentioned that, then the Mishnah digresses to another point, which is not directly related to the halachas of, well, it is sort of, because it's koinam, it's not really directly related to the dinim we're talking about in these parakim, about the dinim of being made for the wife's neder, but it does have to do with nedarim. Koinam, koinam, levium, nanimli. Suppose a person says a koinam, that koinam and levium will not be allowed to have enough for me. Yitlu al kofai. They're still able to take their truma and meiser, whether he likes it or not, because as we're gonna learn in the Gemara, eventually we're gonna learn on Daf Pehe why that is. We're gonna discuss this matter of Tovas Hana and see why it is that in fact that why the Tana of our Mishnah, which again we said before is Rabbi Yossi, why he would say that the farmer does not have the right to not give the truma and meiser to the Kohen Malavim. We'll see that there, but. Koinim elu, levium elu, nanimli. But if he says these particular koinim or these particular levium are also to have enough for me, then we still have to uphold that yitlu achirim. Then we say other people take the truma and meiser. So then he doesn't have. So then he takah doesn't give it to the ones that he said are also. He gives it to other ones instead. Okay. So now, again, the first part of our Mishnah said that a woman makes a neder, that she won't have hana from others. The Mishnah had said, Eini yochel lahofer, that he's not able to be mefer. So let's discuss that. Alma, so we see from that, efshir demitzin amidilei. So the reason is, evidently, because she can be supported from her husband. Well, so there's no inner nefesh involved because her husband is able to support her. So in that case, then, that at this point, the Gemara is assuming that when the Mishnah continues that she can have leket shikcha and peya, it's not a reason for the previous din, it's just a separate statement. It's saying the din will be she's able to have hana from her husband. And in addition, a separate thing, by the way, you should know that she's allowed to have leket shikha and peya, and that's not considered having hanah from other people. Which means, miklal, the baal lav, miklal briyasu. So that would mean that when she makes the neder that I won't have hanah from briyas, she evidently does not mean to include her husband. By the way, the Ran also adds that, now what about, we had earlier in the Perek, for example, that she makes a neder that I won't have enough from a certain, that the payers of a certain place or a certain storekeeper are going to be also to me. And we discussed that with the taste, we talked about that even if the husband himself goes and buys them from the store, they're going to be also. The difference is, the Ran says, because she said then the neder was on the payers. So the payers that come from this storekeeper are going to be osir. That implies even if her husband buys them and brings them to her, they still remain osir. She's not saying the word payers. She's saying hanah from other people. Well, if her husband gets it from those people, then it's not hanah from them. Similar to the way we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if Reuven is, or that if Shimon, we said, was also an hanah from Reuven, so we said Reuven can give the food to a third party, and then that third party can give it to Shimon, and that's not considered having hanah from Reuven. So here would be the same kind of thing. Anyway, so at this point, we're assuming in the Gemara that when she said that I'm not going to have hanah labrius from people, she didn't mean to include her husband in that. And therefore, she's allowed to have hanah from him. Well, in that case, ema sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, yecholah lahonis v'leket chitchopeya, that she's allowed to have hanah from leket chitchopeya, which seems to imply avamid baal loyachla, which seems to imply that she can only live off leket chitcha and peya. She can't have hanah from her husband. Alma baal b'chla briyasu. So it sounds like now we're saying the husband is included in her neder of briyas. So what is it? If the Mishnah is telling us, as we're assuming, two different dinim, then why is it mentioning that she, why is it using the expression she can have hanah from leket chitcha and peya? The Ran says, if she's allowed to have hanah from her husband, then she's not poor. So why should she be allowed to take leket shikha and peya? The very fact that we're allowed, that she's allowed to, seems to imply because she's poor, because she can't even have hanah from her husband. So what is it? Is her husband included in the neder or not? So the Gemara gives three answers. Oma ula, la'olam lav b'chla b'riyasu. We can answer that in fact the husband is not considered part of b'riyas. So when she says a neder that I won't have hanah from b'riyas, she's not meaning to include her husband. The reason why, the Mishnah is saying, ba'oid en yochel ha'ofer, but the reason why the Mishnah is saying two things. Number one, he can't be mefer because there's no inri nefesh over here, because her husband can support her. And again, like we said, the Ran said that would even mean the husband is allowed to buy or get food from those brios, from those other people, and give to her, because once it goes through him, then it's not considered that it's hanah from those brios anymore. And second of all, the Mishnah is telling us, va'oid, and furthermore, another reason, en yochel la'ofer, is mepnei sheyecholah lahonis b'leket shikcha peya, because she's able to eat leket shikcha and peya. In other words, that even if the husband is poor and he can't support her, nevertheless, the fact is that she could have leket shikcha and peya, and she's also not also in her husband. So therefore, those are reasons why. So those would be two separate reasons, says Ula, why that the Mishnah is saying why the husband cannot be mefer. If in fact she was also to have anah from the husband, then we would say that in fact it would be like the case that we had at the beginning of the parak, where she makes a neder not to have hanah from a particular storekeeper, who is the only one who will give them credit. And we said they're yafir, because otherwise it's going to be too hard to get food from anywhere else. So if she was also from her husband and was only mutter and leket shikcha and peya, then Ula says that in fact would be a reason to say that their husband could be mefer. But the combination of the things, that she can have hanah from her husband, so therefore her husband can support her, and that even if her husband is poor and is not able financially to support her, that she's able to have leket shikcha and peya, those two reasons, each of them, is reason enough that the husband can't be made for the neder. So according to Ola, the Mishnah is telling us two separate points. By the way, you have the interesting point Karen Ora brings up. Okay, so she can have leket shikcha and peya. Fine, she'll have wheat and barley and whatever else from that? What about the grapes? Because it also includes, because you have shitcha by grapes as well. What about, for example, she may not have other kinds of food, that she may not have other kinds of fruit or other kinds of food that are not available as like a shitcha and peya. So isn't there inu nefesh because of that? After all, we learned before that any min, any type of food can be considered inu nefesh. And so he says, okay, fine, but she could always take the leket shitcha and peya that she gets and sell it to other people. We said before, she made a neder not to have hanah from other people. But we learned earlier in the Masechta that when a person makes such a neder not to have hanah from other people, he is still able to do business with them. We said what he has to do is he can't buy from them at a discount, and he can't sell to them at a profit, but he could still sell he could sell things at a loss, because then he's not having hanah from them. So fine, so she could take some of the extra like a shitcha and peya and sell it to them at a loss and be able to buy other kinds of things. So there's still no inui nefesh involved necessarily. Okay, so that's one explanation in Mishnah. Rava Amar, Rava says a second explanation in Mishnah. As a matter of fact, we would say the Mishnah means that the husband is included in Brios. So when she says that I won't have Hanav from Brios, she means that she's asking herself to have Hanav from her husband as well. So the Mishnah is saying, Umatam, Kamar. The second part of the Mishnah about the Lekat Shitcha and Peya is giving a reason. Ma tam any yochel lahafer? Why can't the husband be mefer? Because she's able to take leket shitcha and peya. So in other words, so now the Gemara had been bothered before by the fact that the Mishnah didn't tie them together with mipnei, with because. Instead, the Mishnah just had a vav there viyacholahi, which sounded like it was two different reasons, which is how Ulla explained it. Rava saying, okay, so it means as though it said mipnei. So because she's able to have leket shikha and peya, therefore there's no inri nefesh, because now she's able to get leket shikha and peya. Which the Ran adds that now the Ran asks, okay, but so what? I mean, we learned before again about the chenveni, where you can only get food easily from him because nobody else will give you credit. And we said that he can be mefer. So why should, and even Rabbi Yossi agreed with that. So why all of a sudden over here, when there's leket shikha and peya available, would it be not a reason for the husband to not be made for the neder? So the Ran brings from Rav Moshe Bar Shneir, and Tosfos also brings from him, that we're talking about over here a time of year when there's plenty of leket shikha and peya available, namely during the summertime. It's true that if she made the neder during the winter, then that would be different, since there's no leket shikha and peya available, then therefore that would be a reason for the husband to be able to be made for the neder, because then we can't say that there's anything available for her to get outside of being supported by her husband, and therefore that would be inri nefesh. Now, she could support herself, but still, apparently, the idea is that she may not be able to make enough to support herself. And anyway, she made a neder not to have enough from Brios. So even if she sells anything to them, we said she's going to have to sell it at a loss. So therefore, she may have a hard time making ends meet, and therefore, that would be a valid reason for the husband to be mefer, as opposed to during the summertime when there's lots of leket shitcha and peya available. Then, according to Rava's understanding of the Mishnah, that would be a reason that he can't be made. And a third explanation, Rav Nachman Amar La'olam Baal La B'chla B'riyasu. As a matter of fact, we can go back to Ula's explanation and say the husband is not included in Brios. So when she made the neder that I won't have enough from Brios, in fact, she did not mean to include her husband. However, he learns differently from Ula that the sefer is not a separate reason for Hachi Katani. Rather, the Mishnah is telling us a separate din. You should know that even though she made a neder not to have hanah from anybody, and it's fine, as long as she's married, then her husband is not included. But you should know also, Mrs. Garisha, the Mishnah is also telling us that if she gets divorced, yechola lahonis b'leket shitcha peya, then she is able to have hanah from leket shitcha and peya. She's taka also to have other kinds of hanah from other people, but she will be mutter in leket shitcha peya. So the point is, in other words, the husband can't be mefer because, again, she can still have hanah from her husband because he's not included in Brios. So therefore, there's no inu nefesh. The Mishnah is, by the way, telling us a separate din that you should know, as we said before, that leket shitcha and peya, there's no tovas hanah, there's no such thing as that the balabos gets to, the farmer gets to choose which aniyim take it. No, he has no say in that. Therefore, it's not considered having hanah from them. So that's the chiddush is, in other words, according to that, that once she gets divorced, then the husband becomes included in Brias as well. And therefore, we can't say that he should be able to support her like a husband usually ought to be able to support his ex-wife. No, because she made a neder on Brias. So fine, as long as they were married, we could say her husband wasn't included in Brias. But now that they got divorced, then he's included in Brias as well. And the Ran discusses that at some length because earlier in the Masechta, we talked about, for example, you have a case where a person made a neder that I won't have hanah from people who go and voyage in the sea. So we said that, so we said he's allowed to have hanah from people who stay on dry land. So the Yerushalmi discusses, what if you have a person, what if he says that this neder should be in effect 30 days from now, and you have somebody who at the time of the neder is on the sea, and later on, before 30 days are up, then he ends up coming back to dry land. And the halacha is going to end up being, because he was Yodei Hayam, because he was a sea voyager at the time of the neder, therefore he's at the time when the neder was expressed, then therefore the neder includes him, even though by the time the neder takes effect 30 days later, he's not anymore. So therefore, says the Ran, so then applying that to our case over here, the flip side would also be true. If you have somebody who at the time of the neder was on dry land, and now 30 days later is in the sea, you would be able to have anah from him. Well, by the same token over here, she says Brias. According to Rav Nachman's understanding, Brias does not include her husband. Why should the fact that later on she gets divorced, why should her husband all of a sudden enter the category of Brias if he wasn't at the time? So he discusses that in that case. So it comes out, if we learn that way, it comes out that all Gemara contradicts that Yerushalmi. And he says, okay, fine, but it would mean that all Gemara contradicts the Yerushalmi. That's not, in fact, all Gemara would be taking a different tack on it, and all Gemara would be saying you go according to how it is right now. And he goes and discusses at some length the ins and outs of that. Anyway, that's all according to the Ran. The Rosh, anyway, has a different explanation. He says the point that Rav Nachman is making is that once she's divorced, we're saying that Rav Nachman is saying that the husband can't be mefer, even though eventually it's going to come to inri nefesh, because it's not really going to be inri nefesh, because on the face of it, now her husband can't support her anymore because now he's included in Brias. The fact is, though, since she's still able to have leket shikha and peah, then therefore there's no inri nefesh involved. So therefore that would be a reason that the husband can't be made. So those are three explanations of the statement in the Gemara. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow and see, and discuss in particular, we'll discuss Rav Nachman's understanding of the Mishnah. Shukriya, everyone.